Well, it's good to be with you again. And we're going to read tonight in the Acts of the Apostles. And we're going to read chapter 7, firstly, and verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon Stephen with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. Now, chapter 9, verse 1, please. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou came, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Most interesting story, fascinating story, to see how God moves in the lives of men and women. That's the pictures that you get in the book of the Acts when the Lord Jesus had died on the cross for our sin, given his life, and had risen from the dead and had ascended back into heaven. We find that from then on, his servants go here and there, and they're speaking to men and women about the Saviour. But also the Lord himself is speaking to men and women from heaven and challenging them as to their life and their lifestyle. Now here he comes to the life of Saul of Tarsus. We read about Stephen there. We're not going to touch with Stephen tonight, but Saul of Tarsus is here. And here we have a man, a young man. I don't know what age he would be, but I take it he's a relatively young man. He's a man who is educated, a man who is one of the Pharisees, one of the strict religious types, a man who believed in the Word of God and read the Word of God, and no doubt had read his Old Testament Bible many times, and he knew what it said. It was there for him, and he knew it. He sat at the feet of the professor, Professor Gamaliel, and he studied his Bible, it's there. But he studied that Bible but didn't know the author of it. He didn't know God. That's important for us too. It's all very well for us to read the Bible. And it's enlightening and it gives us a lot of interesting comments and stories and so forth. But the Bible in that fashion will not save us. It's only when we take that word that is spoken to us in the Bible and believe it and make it good in our lives, and the Bible then becomes real. Now we never read whether Saul of Tarsus knew about the Lord Jesus before this. I find it impossible to believe that he didn't know of Jesus Christ. After all, here was one who had been crucified in Jerusalem, and the great announcement and the great stir that was there. The people, the mobs had been around. It was there. I don't know how messages were passed back and forward, but Jerusalem had been in an uproar, in a turmoil, as the servants, the high priest servants and so forth had taken Jesus and given him over to the Roman soldiers, the nation authorities, and they had taken him and they had crucified him. He would have heard all about this one who claimed that he was the Messiah, this one who claimed he was the Son of God. It was there, and he would have heard about it, but he was incensed with it. He would not believe that this was the case. And then to be told that his disciples preached the message that he was raised from the dead. This Jesus who had been crucified and buried was alive. And he had gone back to heaven. There, no one had seen him, of course, in the nations. We recognize that fact. That the only people who had seen him, and there were many of them, who were believers in his name. And they had trusted in him. And they saw him. And they were telling the message he had gone back to heaven. And Saul would not believe that either. That was not for him. And he would not listen to the preachers of the gospel. And so incensed was he in his life that he said, I'm going to get rid of the name of Jesus Christ. I'll get that out of the way. I'll get those followers of Christ out of the way. And so with murder in his heart, and looking at this servant of the Lord, this Stephen, as he watched this man, and here again God was with him in that situation. God was speaking. You know, it never amazes me to know how God speaks to men and women in different situations. God speaks, he's alive, and he speaks in a variety of ways to us. And God was speaking to this young man. I've no doubt that he spoke to him about that cross as he saw Christ crucified, if at least he heard about it. But here he is now seeing his servant Stephen, and he's preaching about Christ, and he's preaching this message that Jesus Christ is alive. The one who died on the cross for men's sin was alive, and he's in heaven. And Stephen is preaching that message, but they would not have it. He challenges the nation in his sermon there, right from the beginning of the nation and right through how God has spoken time and time again to this nation in different ways, through different people, Until at last he spoke unto this nation through his son Jesus Christ. And they were vicious in their attack upon him. They would not have it. That Jesus Christ is alive. Is it any different today? Is it any different today? There are men and women all over the land, this land as well as other lands, who will not have it that Jesus Christ is alive. And as soon as you begin to preach the resurrection, you get laughed at, you get mocked, etc. Even in our own country, it's happened in our land. If you try to say that Jesus Christ is alive, they will not have it. But the glorious truth is this: Jesus Christ is alive. And he's ascended to heaven and he's at God's right hand. And this man, Saul, was going to know that in his life. And he was going to find that out. And here he is watching Stephen being stoned to death. He was in control of that. He was the one who was in control. They laid their coats at his feet. He was the one who looked after the baggage, gave the instruction, go ahead, kill it. And there in that situation, he watched Stephen. But he watched more than just them killing Stephen. He saw Stephen kneel down on the ground. He saw him speaking to the Lord Jesus in heaven and saying, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. And I could just imagine his heart was enraged even harder when he said, I see Jesus. This one, he hated him. But Stephen saw him. And like the words of his master, his saviour, He turned to these people, turned to God and asked them to forgive. Forgive, they know not what they're doing. They don't know. And he stood there and watched as this man, the servant of God, was stoned to death. That had an effect to him. Here was God again speaking to him. Speaking to him. The Bible says God speaks once, yea twice. Man perceiveth it not. How often does God need to speak to us until we're listening? You know, each of us too, as believers in the Lord Jesus, that sometimes is the case. He speaks to us in different ways. And sometimes we're very slow to hear what he's saying to us. Well, he was slow to hear this. Until God says, I've got this man marked. As he said to Ananias, this is a man that I have chosen. It's great for all of us to know that we've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's a wonderful truth just to grasp in our hearts. And the Lord Jesus is telling to Ananias that this man was a chosen vessel. He was chosen to take the message to the Gentiles, to the nations. He was there. And God had to deal with him specifically, individually. But let's always remember this fact. That God deals the same way with every one of us. Everyone who trusts Christ as their Savior is dealt with individually by God alone. God speaks and God challenges in our hearts and brings us to that point where we see ourselves in God's presence as sinners and need to be given eternal life through forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Saul was there. And here he is now on his murderous journey. Yes, Saul knew that he was a murderer. He said that later on as he was after he was converted. He said, I was a murderer. I was an injurious person. He was a vile person. And it's great to see what God does and how God changes a person when they trust Christ as their Savior. We know certain people in our country today. We know certain people. I know certain people that are in really reasonable close association. And they're bad, inherently bad, but we're all bad. We've all sinned. And the potential for us to do that, to do murder, is in every heart. And it was there with Saul. It's there. But God was going to speak to him and challenge him. And there with letters from the high priest, so that he could round up all those who believed in the name of Christ. He went off on his way with a party to Damascus to find them there and to bring them back and to put them to death. That was what was in his heart. There was murder there. We think today, we think with grief in certain parts of the world where this is happening. We think of Iraq, even this day, where Christians are being rounded up and seek to be put to death. Our prayer is for our brothers and sisters who are in that situation there. And so here was Paul. He was in that category. And on his way there, and he's really up in the top of the hill looking down onto Damascus. I've never seen it. They tell me it's a beautiful sight to see, to look down on Damascus from the top of the hill. He's probably stopped there. They're probably having a drink. They're probably whatever it's there. But as he's standing there, suddenly, a light, as he says later in his epistles, a light brighter than the noonday sun struck him down. God is speaking to him in that situation. Well, we probably haven't had a light brighter than the noonday sun strike us, but I would reckon that every one of us here who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour can give an experience where God has struck them, whichever way, when the message came forcefully and said, "You're a sinner, you need to be saved." And that is most important, that that comes. And God will challenge. And he's challenged each one. And it's great to know that God still deals with men and women in the same way. And still speaks to them and changes their life. Our God has never changed. Men's hearts have never changed either. They're still against Christ and against his salvation, against God and his Christ. Why do the heathens rage, says the psalmist in Psalm 2. And why do the folks laugh at God and speak against God and mock God and do that? Yes, the Lord says, "I will have them in derision. I will have them in derision." But God will speak and he will deal with men and women. And so Saul, and that day, the strike struck him, and he was on his knees down in the ground. I could imagine the last person he saw on his knees was Stephen, dying for his faith in Christ. And here was a man now on his knees, on the ground, before God in that place. And God spoke directly to him from heaven. An audible voice he heard, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" There is a great lesson there for each one of us, and a great lesson for the people of God, that if we're persecuted, and in this life we'll suffer persecution, we must remember this fact, that those who are persecuting our Saviour. And when we pass through times of difficulty and tribulation, every one of us must remember this, that the Lord Jesus Christ knows about it. He feels it. We sometimes sing, "There's not a pang that rends a heart, but the man of sorrows shares a part." And the Lord Jesus Christ knows what we're going through is there. And persecution against his people is persecution against our Lord and Saviour. And it's a very personal thing for him. And as we just think of this across the face of the earth, as men and women are being brothers and sisters, are being persecuted for their faith in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is seeing it and knowing everyone and feeling it. "They're persecuting me," he said. That's a salutary lesson for us when we think of that. It's there, persecution. And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" he said. "Who are you, Lord?" These words must have cut to his heart when he heard them. "I am Jesus. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." What a thing he must have learned. This one that he was trying to get rid of, whose name he was trying to remove from the face of the earth, this man whom he just laughed that he was not raised from the dead, here he is in heaven and he's speaking to him personally. "I am Jesus." Ah, that was the moment when he bowed his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and he took him as his Saviour that day. He changed his allegiance, he changed his name, he changed his destiny, he changed his outlook in life because Jesus Christ spoke to him and he said these beautiful words to him, "Lord, Lord." And every one of us, you know, have had to come to that experience in our life. If we've trusted Christ as our Saviour, we've come to that point where we're seen in Jesus Christ, this one who gave himself upon the cross for our sin. We've seen him as our Saviour, but we've seen him as our Lord as well, our Lord and Saviour. And we've got to take that into our life's experience, that He is our Lord. He is the one who is in control of our life, and He's managing our life. Here He is. And Saul, from that moment on, was a different man, a changed man. He's now seeing his senses. He's seeing that what he did was wrong. And that must have crashed right into his heart for his life as he thought about this. Looking back on his life, I was a murderer. Oh, sometimes people say to us, will murderers be in heaven? Well, we know murderers are in heaven because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here was this murderer, and he is in heaven, and murderers will be there. But they'll all be there on the same basis and the same way, and that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might have been a religious man. Saul was a religious man, a very religious man, but still a murderer in his heart. But we've got to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him. There it is. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul loved to preach that message from that day on. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus and Lord, and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And that is important. It was important for Saul. He would not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead until this moment. He confessed that Christ was risen from the dead. And each one of us, in our own simple way, and we'll all have different experiences, and people who trust the Savior will all be different, but each one of us must bow before Christ, confess we're sinners in His presence, confess that these sins will banish us and deserve to banish us from God's presence forever. But God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins, given His life that we might be saved eternally. And we bowed our knee to Him and we've said to Him, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Oh, that was the message. And here it was. Lord, and Saul said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, what will you have me to do? Immediately, his life was changed. His direction was changed. What he was going to do was changed. The whole pattern of his life would be different. He was going to suffer. That's what the Lord said to Ananias. I will show him the great things, the many things, the great things. He's going to suffer for my name. And as we read through the New Testament scriptures, we find page after page telling us about what the Apostle Paul, as he was going to be known, would suffer for his name. Shipwrecks, beatings, 39 lashes many times. And so it was. Cast out of cities, had to be lowered down over a city wall in a basket to escape, and so forth. And the story is there. It's there. He's suffering. And you know, we may not have to suffer in that way for Christ, but we have to suffer. They that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, says the scripture. And not one of us will be exempt from that. We will suffer persecution. Maybe the cold shoulder, maybe the sigh word, maybe the laugh and the joke as we pass by and so forth. But there will be suffering. Because men and women still today hate the name of Jesus Christ. And there is Saul. He's now saying, what do you want me to do? Well, he was blinded by that light, and he couldn't see. They took him by the hand. They led him into Damascus there, and he was 3 days there. But God has a man waiting, and there is Ananias. And he says, God speaking to him, the Lord Jesus saying to him, go and find this man, Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth. Here is the first sign that he's praying. First sign that he's saved. He's praying. Oh, I'm sure Saul said his prayers before this. He was a man that would be taught to pray. But now he's praying. He's praying to God. And it's a sign in the believer's heart that they're saving. You know, one of the things that you ask people who want to go back to the world, and they're not going on for Jesus as they ought to. And you simply ask a couple of questions there that say, where are you reading the Bible? And usually the answer is, I've stopped reading the Bible. Where are you praying? I don't pray. It's a sign of not being in communion with Christ. Behold, he prayed. But Lord, I've heard so much about this man. I've heard that he's here to catch us up and to take us away and take us bound up to Jerusalem. You go and do as I say, Ananias. Just do it. He is a chosen vessel. I'm going to send him. He's going to suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias obeyed the Lord. Good. When we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, hearing the message to go to someone, we just take it from the Lord and do it. That was the message of Mary in John chapter 2. As she said to the disciples, whatever he says to you, do it, do it. And it's when the Lord speaks to us, we do it. And there we get the blessing. And sometimes if we don't do it, sometimes we just are disobedient, we regret it. I wish I had. Well, Saul, Ananias, he had no reason to say, I wish I had. He went, and I'm sure there was a bit of fear in his heart as he went into Straight Street and found the house there in Straight Street and went into this man. Look at his words as he goes into him. Brother Saul, he said. Brother Saul. Here's a man now that is united to him in by faith in Jesus Christ, and the union, the link is there. They are both in Christ and he's there. Brother Saul. Good to meet Christians in different parts of the world, in different situations, but they're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're able to shake their hand and say, brother, sister. Great to do that. And this is what he did there. And you know, Ananias laid his hands upon him, asked the Lord to receive his, send his sight, receive your sight, and he received his sight in the situation. And the first thing he did after receiving his sight was be baptized. He didn't say talk about feeding him. Elsewhere, some of the scriptures speak about the first thing they did that when they had food. So it never even says that he had food. When he got his sight, he got baptized. He wanted to show publicly now that he was a different man, a changed man. It's there. And each one of us who have trusted Christ as our Saviour in our baptism declares this great fact to the whole world, whoever wants to know, I'm with Christ. I'm his man. I'm with him. And oh, it's good just to be associated with the man who died on Calvary, who gave his life for us. And you know, from that moment forth, Saul went forth and his life was different. He went forth to serve him, and he went out into the world there and he preached Christ. And it's not long before he's persecuted and before he's having to flee in trouble because of his faith in Christ. We don't know what's going to lie ahead. Our country is in a state of turmoil at this time. Decisions are being made. We just don't know. There are those in this country who would have the name of Christ cast out of it. They don't want it. But we just go forward and preach Christ and believe in Christ and take what we have for his name and just give thanks for the Lord Jesus. And may it be that each one of us tonight may be sure that we've had the experience that the Apostle Paul has had. Maybe not in the same way, but we've met the Lord Jesus Christ. We've met him face to face. We've taken him as our Saviour. We've accepted him as Lord. We've been baptized. We're going forward with him and rejoicing in that. May the Lord just bless us then and bless his word. Let's just pray. Father, we give thanks for your word. We give thanks for the lesson concerning Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. We just pray, Father, that your grace and your blessing shall be upon us now and continue with us. We pray your blessing upon each family that's represented, each person that's here tonight. May your hand be upon us in blessing. And Lord, as we just wait for a time of fellowship together now and wait to see some of these slides of Zambia, we just ask your blessing to be upon us and may your hand be with us. We give thanks for the refreshment that's been provided. We take it as coming from your hand and seek your blessing on it as we give our thanks now in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Well, somebody's away making a cup of tea. I'm only going to take 5 minutes to sort this up. How about a verse of 685? I feel confident to ask for a hymn I haven't had before and leave it, because I know that the organist just can play it. 685, we'll sing the first and the last verse, keeping our seats. Stand, yes.
We rejoice, my sin forsaking, close my eyes, O Lord, from the dream of pleasure waking, open wide, O Lord, while the lamp of life is burning and the oh!